is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The European Union, from the late 20th century, I learned from George Friedman, the Geopolitical Futures founder and chairman, a subscription site, that the European Union was built to anticipate peace and prosperity indefinitely. Good for the European Union, but here we are with the Russians paused in their offensive to disrupt all peace and prosperity, and these shocking headlines from Bloomberg. Europe braces for rationing risks in Russian gas showdown. EU members back tougher rules for Russian tourists. In other words, what appears to be a conflict in the Ukrainian battlefield is in fact two adversaries staring at each other saying, how long will this go on? We're getting ready for the long term. George, a very good evening to you. You introduce in an essay that you've just posted at Geopolitical Futures that we can look to Germany, and not just Germany not having adequate energy plans with the gas shutdown or slowdown, but also Germany not having a defense industry worthwhile. Hence, they've stopped their shipments to Ukraine. How did this happen, George? Can we blame Angela Merkel? Good evening to you.
I think what we blame is the myth of the European Union. The European Union is a coalition of independent countries working together. Countries that in the past have fought vicious wars for centuries. And the idea was now it's all going to be about economics and war doesn't matter. The Germans built their armaments industry for that kind of situation. Okay, war doesn't matter. It now finds itself quite happily, I think, for them, in the position that they can't supply the weapons they want to supply. But also, it raises the question, this is a European war. It's not in the EU. And what else is going to happen? And that's the thing that we have to wonder about.
You entertain the possibility that the German explanation, Olaf Scholz leads a government of a coalition in which the Green Party right now seems much more hawkish than Olaf Scholz's Socialist Party. But in any event, you entertain the possibility that the slowdown in shipments to Ukraine is a concession to Russia. How would that look, George?
I don't think it's a concession to Russia. I think you really have to do it. I just don't think they're very unhappy about doing it. They're very comfortable with the idea of pulling back its involvement, especially if it can be demonstrated that they'd really want to do it but can't. They don't want to be in this war.
They don't want to be in this war, but here it is. And heading into the winter, indicating in the headlines that no one is prepared. George, I read that Birmingham and Aberdeen are preparing warm banks for people to go to when it gets too cold and they can't afford electricity. It's wartime thinking. It might as well prepare the tube tunnels for sleeping because of the bombing raids. I know it's back to the future, but still, the EU is a prize now that they've fallen short. Are they making adjustments for their defense industry? We're, after all, ordering more from our defense industry.
I think two things are happening. First, the war, everybody thought the war would be a short one. The Russians certainly did that it were going to take them and be done. And frankly, even the Americans didn't expect it to go this long. It's going 6 months, it could easily go a year or more. Well, what's needed for a war that takes 6 weeks is very different. And the Europeans certainly weren't prepared psychologically for that kind of war, even though they're not fighting it. The Russians weren't either, I think. The Americans were kind of open-ended. Now it's going to be a long war. Now the things that could hurt Europe are taking place. Not enough fuel coming out of Russia is going to lead Europe in a very difficult position. Psychologically, it can't take this position because it thought with the development of the EU, these problems are gone. This would not be a problem. They now have to face an existential problem. Did we completely misunderstand the nature of the world? Did we really think we could decide there would be no wars involving us? And if we can't, then what goes on? And these countries will come to different conclusions. So as Britain left because they simply couldn't align itself, this will divide the European Union.
The passing of Mikhail Gorbachev, the man who ended the Soviet Union really at the end of 1991, Gorbachev created a condition that Europe could be fooled. Is there anyone to blame, George? I mean, you make the point. It is very, very reckless to be rich and prosperous and also weak. Did no one in Europe say that since Gorbachev ended the Soviet Union?
Well, the Soviet Union ended, and there was an illusion that it was broken and would remain permanently broken. They'd retreated behind the lines near Moscow. And they thought, look, there really is no problem. They had the United States still in NATO, so if any problem occurred, the Americans would take it. It was a massive amount of mendacious thinking. How do I get the most out of this that I can without spending any money? And wishful thinking, the idea they could avoid in history. So I think the Europeans have been irresponsible, but after the First and Second World War, it's understandable they had to have this fantasy that history had ended.
All right, we've been looking at Germany. Let's look at the whole of the European Union, especially France and Italy, along with Germany. And I want to include the UK here, though it's not part of the EU, it is part of NATO, so there can be cross purposes. However, a European army, it was tossed around for some time, and then I lost it. Where is it?
The French wanted a European army. They also, I suspect, wanted French command. If you have a European army, what language would it use? If it was divided by languages, they'd be nationalistic armies. Who is the command structure? Who decides when war is going to be waged? You can have a national army that has a decision-making structure that's understood and commands the army. But who is the structure that decides what's going to happen? The European Union's bureaucracy? I don't think so. And the point is, Europe is not a country. It is a coalition of independent states who are here in the EU for what they can get out of it. They're not here for war.
Your essay reminds me, George, to rethink the Second War. Let's go to 1939, 1940, 41. You know it very well. Your origins are on that same canvas. What we're looking at here is all of the European armies failed from the starting the Nazi attack, including the United Kingdom. They failed at Dunkirk, and then without the U.S. rearming them and coming to the rescue, there is no European country separate from Germany. So are we really seeing something new here, George, or has Europe failed once, twice, three times in the last 100 years?
I like to say that the Battle of the Somme broke Europe. It was a terrible battle in the First World War with massive casualties. After the war ended, the British were utterly tired of war and the deaths it had. The French, the war was fought on their soil. And they wanted to believe that the German question was ended. And they were blind to the fact that it wasn't. And so they didn't prepare properly. And Germany did prepare, because the loser does prepare, because it knows what defeat looks like. And Germany prepared, and in the end, the Americans had to supersede the Europeans. And very frankly, ever since then, it is the United States that determines the future of Europe, not Europe. If there's a war, it's what the United States does. It is the only dynamic power. There's no other one available. The French try to be, but they aren't.
You make a very good observation that the loser prepares. Russia prepared, George. It's inadequate. We see that. But it did prepare. And all that boasting that Putin's done in the last 20 years turns out to have something to it. He boasted about their nuclear arms. He boasted about their fleet. He certainly boasted about their tanks, the big stuff they would roll out in the Moscow for the parade. Did Washington take that seriously, George?
Not sufficiently. They shared in a kind of, quote, liberal academic way, the idea of not only the end of history, but also the idea that we are a global entity and nation states are not that important any longer. That was the message that the elite took out of the Cold War. There is nothing that can't be settled between nations, and the most important things are financial flows. The Russians do better. They didn't prepare well, but they were under no illusion that the status they were in was viable. Whereas when I went to Washington, I mean, the military aspect was boring. Let's talk about the kind of sales we can set up with pro-Portugal, things of that sort. Not unimportant, but not history.
Let's go to the Black Sea Basin. With George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site, writing about his visit to Romania before the pandemic and what is to be done with the threat to the whole of the Black Sea Basin right now, I'm John Batchelor.